1998 regular meeting of the Tomah Community Services District. Please rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a roll call vote for attendance, please.
Director Kay?
Here.
Director Blair? Director Simon?
Here.
Director Fairbanks?
Here.
Director Mendoza?
Here. We have the approval of minutes of regular meeting of May 20th.
I move that we accept the minutes as printed.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of May 20th. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Opposed? Motion passed. Item number two, the public comment period. This is for anyone who wishes to address the board on matters that are not on the agenda. So limited to 3 minutes. Please state your name and address when you come up to the podium.
My name is John Snyder, and I live at 662 Eucalyptus Road in Napomo. I'd like to remind the board that I'm not for or against development. I feel that it's the board's responsibility to provide a reliable water supply for its customers. This includes ensuring that you have the legal, financial, and physical ability to supply water to your customers, essentially in perpetuity. This board has taken inconsistent actions, which consist of, one, determining that the basin is in overdraft and that there's not enough water for the people who are pumping on the Mesa now, while simultaneously providing will serves and intent to serve letters for additional homes, while still charging approximately $2,200 per hookup, which is not enough for any additional or supplemental water. I think the board should do one of the following. Either it should, A, find that the basin is not overdrafted and that there's a sufficient amount of water for everybody on the Mesa, and then go ahead and pump. Two, not provide any new hookups. Or three, find that the basin is overdrafted but charge a sufficient amount of money for supplemental water, which by my estimate would be more like $6,000, $2,000 for regular kind of plumbing and hookup and $4,000 for the supplemental water. I've also written you a letter requesting a response to my February 18th letter, which essentially asked whether you were adversely pumping anybody else's water in the basin. Your lawyer, Scott Slater, had a talk down in Santa Barbara that Bob and I went to, and he was very clear, and one of the things that he zoned right in on was a recent court case, Pleasant Valley, and he reminded all of us that you had to have all five elements for prescription, which includes open and notorious. So I'm requesting that if you are hostily pumping, that you be open about that. And I'm wondering why you haven't responded. I'll also note that I know that Doug stated that the letter's down at the lawyer, but the lawyer has not sent any bill on that. So there's some questions in my mind as to what's happening about that. Thank you.
Anyone else? Public comment? Okay, we'll close the public comment and go to item number three, water pressure at high elevation, Summit Station. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, staff and the board have reviewed a number of the high elevation areas in the district primary, the Summit Station area and the Dale area are the highest elevations within the district. The district master plan prepared by Boyle Engineering establishes the operational pressure between 30 and 40 psi, with 40 psi being the approximate pressure in the system on the normal operations. And as mentioned, the State Department of Health Services, Title 22, establishes a minimum pressure of 20 psi at the service. That's design pressure. The standpipe is sitting near the summit station area, has a top elevation of approximately 548 feet, and the district normally operates top 10 to 15 feet of that elevation, which would maintain a design pressure in the summit station area about 30 psi. Of the complaints that we received, we found a number of them are associated with physical failures in the system, which the board had reviewed from past reports from the district engineer, Gary Hillary, and associates in past meetings. On May 12th, the Honorable Board had a study session on this particular issue, and the reports today indicate that the district, with its pressure devices out there, indicate that we are meeting Title 22 requirements in the summit station area. I just will point out that with respect to pressures in the summit station area, I think the board and a number of people have seen this graph before. This is at the standpipe and elevation 548 when it's full, and that elevation is the same elevation as the twin tank at the end of Test Street. We operate right now in top 10 to 15 feet, which maintains the pressure at the summit station when you drop down about 38, almost 40 psi to use the top 20 feet. So therefore, right now, on maximum demand days, we're down to maybe 20 feet, we're still maintaining the 30 psi at the summit station, which is the desire of the district to maintain that pressure, even though the Title 22 allows us to go down to 20 psi. there's a number of scenarios we looked at with respect to pressurizing the area. One of them is, we discussed briefly of doing nothing, which still meets Title 22 requirements of 20 psi, which is actually almost close down 30 feet and still at 25 psi at the high elevation area at our summit station. Another one is establishing independent pressure zones in the area. There could be two pressure zones, or actually three. This is establishing a pressure zone in the summit station area where we have a hydromag system, a number of pumps, a large pressure vessel. Devices would be put on the line two places, and this area would be pressurized, mainly to have keep costs down to handle the domestic flow, and probably installing check valves in the main line, so when you have fire flow, the check valve would open up, and you get the fire flow into the area for fire protection. Doing the same thing over here on Dale Avenue. The disadvantage of this, the shaded area is approximately elevation 460. You have some areas which will be outside of the pressure zone area, which would not benefit from. There is you could probably set up a pressure zone here, which would pressurize the whole area. The areas right here at the low point of the summit station area at this intersection and also down at the end of Pomeroy, the present pressures in those areas, as indicated by this graph, are around close to 100 pounds right now. If you increase the pressure in the whole area, then these pressures also go up. The third option is installing an individual pressure pump at each of the individual at the high elevation areas. By doing that, you can lower the tank down even further. Even though maintained at 30 psi, by dropping down to that range, you'll get down to 25 to 20 psi. At this point here, at the lower elevation, it would affect that, maybe get close to 30 psi at the 440 elevation, which is still the district standard doing maximum period. In respect to the cost of these items, they vary. Usually a hydromatic system for pressurizing specific areas, you're looking at someplace between $150,000 to set up a booster station for this item here. You'd have to have it designed by engineer. You'd have to acquire some property here to put the booster station off site, and you'd require two of them. One would, if you put one in, it'd probably cost someplace around $200,000. There's the aspect of how to finance it, probably through some form of assessment district. Then you have established a secondary pressure zone, which costs more to operate. Therefore, those fees would normally put onto the water user. It is suggested that individual pumps be installed at each individual property owner's house. These individual pumps, there's two types here. The bottom one, this is a typical pressure pump, which has been around for many, many years. You have a small pressure tank and a little boost pump on the top of it. This type of device would boost the pressure up approximately 40 PSI. You could vary the product, whatever you want to do. You could buy one that boosts it up higher or buy one lower. But this particular one we looked at was about 40 PSI. Whatever the pressure coming in, it would boost it up 40 pounds. So if you had a minimum of 20 pounds at the meter, preferably 30 pounds, it would get up to 60 or 70 pounds from the site. Another one, Brunpup has come out with a new pump that's been out about 3.5 years. It's a variable speed pump. It has its own little pressure device on here. And you can set different pressures in here on these settings, A through D4. This indicates the inlet pressure. Okay, so it's 22 PSI, and you wanted to have someplace around, say, 50 PSI at the point. At this point here, you'd be delivering roughly 13 gallons per minute at 50 PSI from this pump. The manufacturer said you could, and the unique thing about this pump, it actually had a suction here at 0 PSI, and it's like 15 feet of lift. So you can hook on the inlet side, put it down in a well 15 feet, and it'll suck that water out. And say at 45 PSI, it'll give you roughly 7 gallons a minute. So these are different types of equipment that's on the market that would suffice in this aspect of installing individual homes to boost the pressure. This is done quite commonly in high elevation areas. Aurora Grand does it. In fact, developers that build on high houses or high hills with new houses automatically install a booster pump, probably at the bottom one, to boost the pressure up to the house. The Tascadero does this. Many of the areas in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas in California do this, so it's a common thing of installing a small booster pump. I talked to a couple of manufacturers and said, what would it cost them to install these things? And they said, well, depending on the situation, you look at something like maybe $1,000 to $1,500, depending on the electrical, how far they want to go, which side boost the pump you want to put on. I had a quote from a supplier. The top pump is around $650, and the bottom one is around $450 plus freight. So you're looking at plus or minus $500 to $600 in that range for the equipment. Installation, the top one is quite simple. In fact, they show it underneath the sink where the water in, hook it on one side, and on the other side, take it to the sink, turn it on, and set the pressure. And so they have it so they can pressurize just one area in the house, or you set this outside the house and pressurize whatever you want. It, in the summer station area, probably the most optimum area is installing it behind. You have to have a backflow device when you install a pressure device on your property, and that's kind of health department requirements. But it would boost the pressure up on an individual basis as they told you are. Based on that aspect, we did a survey out there to find out how many parcels that may be affected. With water services, present water services out there, there's 8 parcels above the 460-foot elevation and an additional 11 parcels above the 440 elevation. There's a number of services out there that have no water service, but they are living there. They're not connected present to the existing water system. And there's approximately 6 vacant parcels in the whole area. And so basically, that's a report by staff associated with that. It is suggested that if the board wishes to assist the individual property owners of buying equipment, they may develop a program where they could, upon verification of the booster pump being installed, they could rebate the homeowner a dollar amount, $500 plus or minus, therefore kind of offset the bulking cost of the equipment.
Okay. So This information related to the booster pump was discussed in the public meeting we had May 12th. And so the board is prepared to assist those people that avail themselves of this opportunity to install a booster pump. So at this time, we can have public comment on this matter.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's my understanding that when there's a bare lot and someone goes to build what they have here at a high elevation like this, that we are requiring them to put in a...
No. Basically, this program that you presented tonight is for existing homes.
Yes. No, I
mean. Anyone new coming in is required to install their own system. We notify them that they're in this area, and we give them a flyer saying that notification that if you want higher pressure than what we're delivering, then you should install the pressure device.
Because I live above 440 feet, I'm going to excuse myself from how much people get, because it may be a conflict of interest. I mean, I don't know if it is or not, but I don't want people to say, gee, I voted on something that I might have advantage of. Because I'm on my own water, I probably won't even hook up to the booster pump because I got my own booster pump. But I could be advantaged by this because I'm one of the people's 440 feet. So I'm going to sit in the audience or just sit in
the audience? No, same here. I checked with the Fair Political Practice Commission on Monday. And after three calls, I finally got a reply. And they said, as long as I'm not taking benefit from this, which I already stated, that no matter if they come up with $500 or whatever they come up with, that I would not take benefit from that. I'm on the list also. And therefore, they said I could sit on this agenda item, that I wouldn't have to excuse myself.
So you're in the same situation?
Right. Yeah.
Say I die tomorrow, my wife took advantage. I don't want to, you know...
Well.
I mean, no, but I mean, I don't want people to say that. I mean, you're not up 440 feet, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's why I had to check with them.
Okay. I'll sit here if it's all right, but I don't want to look like I'm trying to do something, because I'm not going to take it. I don't need it.
Gene, could you, just for the record, could you explain what the Attorney General told you?
Well, the legal counsel there, she had to confer with the legal counsel. Then she got back to me around 1 o'clock Monday afternoon. Her name was Margaret. And she said that as long as I'm not deriving benefit from this action that we might take and we might not take, well, the potential is $500 that I could receive if I put a pump in. And I stated before that I wasn't going to put a pump into her previous to her final call to me Monday afternoon, and she said because of that I can vote either way on it and it wouldn't impact me, it wouldn't be a conflict.
Thank you.
So Mr. K is saying that he will not take any benefits of any district.
Put that on the record that I will not.
And then Mr. Blair, are you in the same position?
Right, I already have a pressure pump.
Well,
it makes no difference, I have one too.
But basically the same.
I'm not going to take it.
What's the length of time that the booster pump will work?
Mine's been there 20 years.
Pardon?
Mine's been there 20 years. I put it in 78 and it's 98. Now it's not working. That thing's still going.
We you use it all the time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We got girls.
So they have a long life then?
Oh, yeah.
The tank sometimes.
The tanks, I put in tank, I think, in 20 years.
The pumps last a long time. The tank, pump, maybe 5 years.
I put in one tank, one of those blue tanks in that tank.
Okay. Any other director comments?
I was going to say one thing else, you know, on this supposed solution to the problem. I stated earlier, I don't know whether it was the end of last year or the beginning of this year, when we were discussing this item concerning putting a booster pump on someone's system, I had suggested that we do it on a trial basis to a resident out there that's agreeable to having it put on a temporary basis to see how it works during the summertime, because you're talking about the rebate policy expires on the 1st of November 1999. So we would have at least a summer to see if somebody is willing to accept this as a trial basis. And and see how it works, because they're stating that the water is not in the pipeline, and if they're going to put on a pump on their system, they might pump might burn out, and then what happens? Who's going to pay for the new pump when it burns out because they're sucking dry out of the pipeline? Now, I think the pipeline's got water in it, but to allay their fears, I would like to see, like I stated before, that they have they put one system in at an area out there that has that shows they have the problem with the pressure, like Mary Holder, place like that, where we know we have a problem out there. And just see how it works, if we get their permission to do it. You got to move the paper.
How's that? Does that work?
Stay there.
I might add, going back to this graph, this is we anticipate we have in the budget next year to go ahead and start designing a second water line from the town division to the tank, and putting a second story tank up here, and putting a crossing across Nacomo Creek. Right now, when the pumps come on, the pressure has to raise sufficiently to get it across the one line coming across Nacomo Creek to get up to the tank. With a secondary line and additional line up to the tank, that pressure surge that we get into some of the station area when the standpipe shuts off will probably be diminished to a certain aspect. So as the improvements develop within the district, the pressure variation of some of the stations shouldn't drop as much, and the should be modified outcome. So basically, this program is for the interim period, maybe this summer or next summer, if the board so wishes. And by that time, we should have these other improvements on, which should minimize the additional pressure surges that we're having right now when the standpipe shuts off.
Okay, we go back to public comment.
My name is Marina Herrera, and I live at 1248 Patrol Lane, right off Summit Station. And I gave my grandchildren the bath the other day, and they're screaming and yelling. I went in there, I thought it was a spider. And, I mean, it's like if they had tar all over. There's a 7 and 8 year old boy. And they says, Grandma, this is something's in the water. And I have to sieve with cloths in order to drink it. I have to sieve the water or go to my neighbors to drink to get gallons of water. And when water comes out, it's more like if it was soap. And, you know, just a lot of bubbles and then junk like this. And it's been, ever since we got the water, it's been on and off. And this is, I've had that for the last couple of weeks now. And sometimes it's less and sometimes just, and Mr. Mendoza went once there to the house and I showed him and he said, I wouldn't stand for it. I wouldn't want to have to go to my neighbor to get a drink of water. And I hadn't been able to come because I'm disabled and I'm ill. And I figured, if it scares my grandkids, I think it's better to, if they're going to put a pump and get stuff like that more, you know, it's either we don't have enough water or I don't know what the answer is.
Do you have a backhoe device?
Yes.
Is your address 1248?
Patrol Lane. It's right off, I'm the very last back in there.
And your neighbor has good water?
No. The Cosby has the same as I do.
They're getting the same stuff you get?
Uh-huh. So are they are. But I'm the one, well, that I have children to come over and I have to be going because they have well water also, so I've been going to get the well water in order to drink. So what should we do?
Can I just ask a couple questions? Can you tell us when you retrieved this water?
This was on the 25th.
And can we keep the water here? You said 25th of last month?
Of last month. And it's been going on, and I didn't have enough little jars because I thought, well, I'll take them and show them, and it's been off and on. And today I can, you know, I can't make the lemonade or Kool-Aid or whatever for the kids because they won't drink it.
And I just don't want to over-lawyer this, but I just want to get a sort of a foundation here. Would you describe this as an intermittent problem? Like you were kind of saying some days it was good, some days it was...
But it sometimes it's just real tiny little bits and then great big old clobs.
Okay.
So it's the whole month through, and I just wondered...
And
I brought some before. I left some at the, you know, and I gave some to Gene, and it seems that they said that they had thrown it away or hadn't been, so I saved that to show.
And is your house served only by district water, or is it
yes,
one of those houses
sir.
That has a well and a...
No, our house does not have a well.
Okay. And how far is your house off of the... Did it have a well at one... It must have had a well at one time.
It has the well. It's on the other side of the property, and it's not being used by us.
And how far... And the lines are completely cut off from the well
yes.
to the house?
I have two water coming in. One comes in from one side, but it's for the other side of the 12 acres, and the one that we get, the people that live on the other on the trailer aren't using. They use the well water because they're not using other than for the animals.
And how long is the reach from the district's meter to your house?
800 feet.
And are you using? Is that the metal pipe? Is it?
2 inch PVC.
Yeah, we put it all the way in from.
And is any of that pipe? Is that all that pipe new pipe for water service, or is any of the old well lines
nothing.
Being used to serve?
Nothing.
Water?
It's a brand new house. We just had it built 4 years ago.
Thank you.
Is your property 135?
It's 1248 Cooper Lane.
Here's Cooper Lane. And is it one of these, which of these three properties?
139.
139?
Yeah.
This one here?
The 12 and a half acre parcel.
Okay.
It goes on...
On Valverde.
On Valverde and has two ways.
Right. Okay. 139.
Oh, and also when that came out really bad, it smelled really bad. I mean, it smelled like it was been in some place that's stagnant. It's really smelly, and I had to take the kids to the neighbors to get
rid of
the shower.
Mrs. Herrera, I did state what you quoted me, that I wouldn't stand for it. And from what I recall, I brought this up in one of the meetings, and I was told that more than likely it's the result of the long pipe that you have, and somehow that water stagnates in it, because I don't think we have this quality water in our main line. See, so... And
I don't know. It's just that if we don't get enough water to keep it running, you know, if it stays or whatever, wherever it stays, I don't know. But if we put a pressure pump, are we going to get us more air than the water that we're supposed to get? I don't know. I'm just showing what I'm getting, and I don't know the reason for it. I just.
Do you have a water shortage also, low pressure?
As far as I know, it's very, the showers and the bath and everything, ruins a lot of my clothes and everything because it takes a long time to wash and stuff like that. So I don't, you know, I'm not a professional in this. It's just. I just wanted to show you that that's what I'm getting. And as far as, you know, you go from there, I don't know.
The pressure does drop.
The pressure is about the same most of the time, but it's like it bubbles up like if it was soap. And then all that stuff comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either a lot more.
The dirt or whatever it is.
It's not dirt. It's just It's like, and then it smells.
Yeah.
It smells really bad. Mm-hmm. Like it's stagnant. Like it's stagnant. So.
Mr. Jones, wasn't there a test made when this was brought up some time back?
Yeah, we sampled routinely in the Summit Stage area and sent it to the lab for verification. And I have a note that we'll sample. I hope
but you never have come up with this kind of water?
Not that I'm aware of.
How often is that line pumped there in the cul-de-sac?
We try and flex the dead-end line twice a year.
So I think we talked to you about that before, that it should be flushed more often because of the fact of it being a dead-end line.
Curtis, that's one. I think Mr. Jones has testified or stated that we'll get this water tested. So just one little question I want to ask. This jar was taken from where in order to get it filled?
So that's from my kitchen sink.
So
it was the kitchen. It's the whole house. Like when it happened to the boys, I ran to the kitchen sink because I wanted to make sure that the kitchen sink, the shower, the bathroom, you flush them, and it's just all that stuff. It just coagulates in the bathroom.
So what we have here, you take a little bit from each faucet.
No, I just took it from the kitchen sink.
It's all from the kitchen sink.
Yes.
Okay. Next.
My name is Wilbur Swanson. I'm at 1250 Future, and I'm Mrs. Rivera's neighbor. He mentioned it could be our stagnant in our pipes or dirty pipes. So we put in 5 pipes in one ditch, and Zachary's caused these, Rivera's, mine, and 2 for me. And the pipes, we flushed them, they're clean. And you get that, I took 2 back flows apart, and you were there when they took one. And that crud came right out of the back flow by handfuls. So it's not getting stagnant from our backflow to us. And there's no way, he says, flush the lines. You can't flush that line. Your fire hydrant is 33 feet from where our outlets are, and we're in a dead end. With the water getting stagnant, it's between Summit Station and the end of Future. Your airflow is at the very end of the line, which don't do any good for us. In fact, they took it apart and put a valve up there so they could read to make the airflow work. And we've all got 1.5 inch backflow preventers. We've got 2-inch pipes. And like she says, our water comes out like it's coming out of an aerator. You've got this 20 pounds pressure, but you don't have no water. I bought a pressure water cleaner in April. It takes 3 gallons a minute to run it. I run your water into my tank, pumped out of the tank, and I run out of water in 30 minutes. And I thought my pressure washer blew up. So you can't supply me 3 gallons a minute. I've got 30 pounds pressure, but it's all air. There's no water coming down Selma Station. I don't care how you look at it. You can bump that pressure up to 50 pounds, and I'm still getting air and a little bit of water.
Well,
I shut my water off at the meter in April. I ain't even gonna fool with it.
Yeah.
So you can't, I can't burn up a $2,000 pump because you can't give me 3 gallons a minute. But as far as the water getting stagnant in our lines, it don't do that.
You don't think it's a possibility? Well, I certainly
there's
think
no flow. There's no flow. That's it. It
yeah.
Boils right down to there's no volume.
I think it's up to us, the board, and the staff to really to give you people some answers to this because we can't continue to just toss this thing around. I'm requesting that as the board president from staff to investigate this matter and come to some determination of what's going on because we can't continue this. Mr. Seitz?
Yeah, can I just ask a couple questions,
well,
Mr. President?
Go ahead.
I'll say that. Oh, okay.
No, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you.
No, but I'll say I wouldn't dare put a pump on that line because when that pump runs dry, it's burned up. You can't run a pump without water, and I know that you can't give me 3 gallons a minute, but I've tried it. I had a bunch of cupboard doors I hauled from the valley over here to water blast the paint off. I loaded them up, took the pressure over to Merced County. and I washed them over there. I couldn't get the water here.
Could you tell us how much water line there is between the meter and your house?
No, mine's about 700 feet.
And can you give an idea how is your house level with the street, or is it up higher than the street?
I'd say we're just a few feet lower than where the meter is.
So you're actually downhill from the meter?
It will run gravity down to.
And is there a backflow prevention device on your line?
I've got an inch and a half. All of us have an inch and a half backflows. We went overboard on the whole system, and we didn't get no water.
Okay. And in relation to your house, I know this is going to be hard to estimate, but in relation from your house to the meter, can you tell us approximately where the backflow prevention device is?
It's right at the meter? That's where they said we had to put it. You can't put it on. You have to have it up there. And they wouldn't move the meter down close to our property because they've got to be on county paved roads.
And again, it's PVC pipe. And what size is it?
2-inch.
2-inch.
Now, we should get water that you couldn't handle. But I wouldn't dare put a pump on the end of it.
How far is it between those two dead end lines? There's one there and there's one on the other side.
There's a line on Verde that dead ends and ours dead ends. And Verde's got 60 pounds pressure. We get 20, 25. The water's going right on by us instead of coming in.
It might make some minor circulation, but it won't have any effect on pressure.
Would it keep the dirt from collecting?
We flush the lines, we sample. I don't remember how many samples. We take each year to meet the Clean Water Act, and basically all district samples have been passed by the health department. When we were out there once with Jim Gehring and I think some of the board members, we tested that thing, and at that time I think he was getting 22 or 20, 21 gallons per minute at roughly, I think it was 20 PSI or something like that at this location.
And that air vac was higher than the line at the end of it?
The air vac is always at the high point.
See, on my own system, I got an air vac. And if the water backs off for any reason, then I got a bubble in the line. And then I got to hook the hose up from another source and blow it out and blow water in it to blow it back up to the tank. It doesn't happen very often, but the few times it happens, there isn't any water. So if you get a point in there where there isn't any water in the line and you got an air vac at the end, that's what's doing it. So if we had continuous flow, you wouldn't have that. I don't mind. Maybe you got to hook those two lines together. I don't know what it's going to cost. But
what? Here, going back to the diagram again. As long as there's water in the tank, the tank bottom elevation of the tank is the same elevation as the high point of the Summit Station Road. Okay? As long as there's water in the tank, there's water in the pipe. And not, the tank has always been more than half full. So there's always a positive pressure in the water.
See, that's the same thing with my system. But for some reason, my electric goes out or something, and my well doesn't run, and I drain my tank down, and I get a bunch of air comes through there, then I got to blow the whole thing out, because then even if the water comes back in, fills up by 10,000 gallons, there's still air in there. And you've got to blow it back. And
That's
for any
true.
Reason, they're getting air up there. It's just a little bit in the line because he says it's foaming and it's bubbling.
That's true. With the pressure system here, if you get air in here, and then when the thing comes back on, you get air out in the system. With the district system, there's always positive pressure. It's not a hydromatic system out there. It's a gravity system. And therefore, there's always positive pressure out there. I can't explain the air. I'd have to do some major investigation. Why there's air in the line, I don't know. But the air vac valve out there, any air that gets in the line is evacuated through the air vac valve.
Is there any way we could loop that together with temporary, with plastic pipe, to see if that'd cure it?
You'd have to get right away across the property.
You have my right of way, and if my property, you'd have to cross.
Well,
on the prior test, was it clear or was it just like this water?
As far as I know, it is clear. We select fire hydrants out there and then we check the pressure and they were flowing, I think, around 20 gallons, 21 gallons per minute at appropriate pressure.
No, but what I'm asking is the jar that's holding this water has these little black things. Was that the same type of thing that you had tested previously?
I don't know. We've tested the water out there and so far we haven't found any problems.
My name is Marty Jenkins. I live at 12.
Just a minute. Okay.
Let's
send
it through. You know, we can go out with, you know, further test the program. I mean, those out there test more often at certain locations and see if we're having a problem.
Yeah. Well, my question was built around the fact that if the last water was tested, they had to have some type of a conclusion. And what was that conclusion if it went in like that?
Well, Mr. Gehring made a report to the board. I think it was about 2 or 3 pages long, which addressed all that information about the flow, the pressures, etc.
But they had no clue as to what caused it.
I don't know. Okay, based on our system and to the meter and everything, we test, which we have to test to meet the state health department requirements, and therefore we are meeting those requirements. If we're not meeting those requirements, a red flag goes up and
yeah,
we get phone calls right away.
Would they be able to analyze that water in that jar and find out what that is?
I guess, yeah, we could probably take it down and ask them if they can analyze what substance that the black flakes are in here. I know that there's algae on the side of the bottle, so it must have been sitting out in the sun for a period of time.
It wasn't out in the sun. I had it underneath in the cupboard. Did it after a while, because I had the jar put up and then decided it'll, you know, they get to the point where they kind of get clear and then kind of dissolve in the water.
If the district could arrange to have somebody come out and get a pressure sample of the water, would that be?
That'd be great.
Would that be? Would you give us our permission, your permission, to allow the district to do that? When you took this sample, was that what you would call a whole lot?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure we have the range here.
I just took, you know, just what somebody needs to fill the whole bathroom and the
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, may I ask a question? Mr. Jones, you say you come out and take samples. Where do you take them from?
We have sample points out there. There are 2 of them in the area. Designed for sample stations that meet the health department requirement. There's a certain requirement of building a sample station to take water from the distribution system.
But actually, it's not off of Future or Lane.
No, it's probably, I'm not sure. I think it's one off of Summit Station or Hendrick. It was designed in the project to get a representative sample of the water in the area.
Okay, and this airflow or
air vac?
I'm sorry.
Air vac.
Okay, the air vac. You do this how often?
It varies. We have to sample, I think, at least twice a week throughout the year. We can take about 9 samples a week.
Okay. But when you let this air vac release it or to release the water to make sure there's no air in the line or something?
Normally once the air is out of the line.
Okay, then why was ours had to be fixed last year before it could be worked? And that made it there 2.5 years before it was ever fixed. Wilbur stood and watched the man fix the screw or something before it would work.
Oh, on the air vac?
Yes. So how could it have been tested twice a year if it was broken?
The air vac's not tested.
Well, it's the air is, or vented, or whatever it's done. The whole point of this conversation is we are getting nowhere. Our water is not drinkable. Our water is not bathable. We're getting no water. We have 20 pounds pressure with the... Oh, and another question. For a month and a half, we had like 70 pounds pressure. Why? And how?
Can you tell us what month and a half you're referring to?
The last of April, the 1st of May.
And that was just immediately?
Yes. Yes.
the recording devices that we have out there show that when the standpipe shuts off, like I mentioned before, you get a surge in pressure to boost the water across the freeway up to the twin tanks. You need that pressure to move it that far because of the deficiencies in the system. Mm-hmm. We need a second crossing. In fact, the water report indicates we need three crossings across the Como Creek. We have one right now, one 10-inch line, and all the water from the west side needs to be pumped across to that 10-inch line. To get it across there, the pressure on the west side has to increase sometimes substantially to get the water over on the east side. And depending on how many pumps are running, get that peak. We've had problems with the data system, some pressure devices that have not worked properly. They were repaired with a different type of device, which is more reliable last weekend. We're getting to the high production area. Much of the high pressure was when the demand wasn't there and we had pumps running because of this problem with the pressure device. And we had some big pumps running when the standpipe turned off and all the pressure are filled up because we had so many pumps running. We're trying to modify the pumps so we don't have them all running. Therefore, mitigate some of that high pressure in the sump station area. But you do have,
So technically, what you're telling me, it was broken and we had pressure and now that you fixed it, we don't.
That's basically what we're getting to. When it was broken, okay. We didn't have control of our pump.
Yes?
I might say that the recording up there indicates we're maintaining around 35, 40 PSI in the area continuously with surges when the standby steps off.
Norman Force here. 231 Summit Station.
What was your name?
Norman Forsier.
Right.
You know, some time ago we were led to believe we were going to have a meeting with you folks either in the morning or afternoon or some evening outside of the regular meeting with people from Summit Station to try to get together and solve some of these problems. As you can see tonight, you should have had this. We haven't solved a darn thing. You're telling us some of the fixes we're going to have with pumps, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not solving the problem with the water system. Now, why can't you get together with the people out there and just talk about the water? Now, we find out this poor lady is drinking garbage among other people. When are you going to do something about it? Why don't you put an addition to that?
There's a valve on it right now, so we can maybe look at that.
And you can drain it out of there and see if that's, see if you're getting jars of that kind of crap by the end of the line.
Any other people? Comments?
I'm afraid to come up here either and complain after everybody else's problems. I'm on Summit Station, too. I'm across from Gene.
Mary Hodges.
Hodges. 268 Summit Station, and I'm terribly grateful to have water, but I really feel a little cheated after I got it because I pay as much as everybody else, but I don't have any pressure. And some days, if I have a yard thing, I can't have two things on at once. If I have anything going, I can't wash my hair upstairs because I can't get the soap out of it. There's not enough pressure on my upstairs. And somehow I didn't feel that I was going to be that short of pressure that then I'm not that high up. I didn't think I was, anyway. And it's just a two-story house. Good thing it isn't four or five, I guess. But you can't run two sprinklers in the yard. You can't open up. And some days, I swear, there's very little pressure at all because down the line, everybody must be watering, or you must be using across the way. And I have much less. And so I don't really think there are days that I have 20 pounds of pressure out there on the road. And of course, when I signed up for this, I figured that was 20 pounds. I assumed I'd had adequate pressure. That's just all. So I feel like I'm paying the same price as everybody else, but I'm getting less for my money. There are people that get pressure somewhere in the system, and I don't. And they're not giving, you're not discounting, making me a discount on low pressure. Now, if I buy a booster pump and put it out there, I'm paying even more for for pressure. I mean, I'm even paying even more than everybody else. That sounds good. We'll buy a pump. And there's another bunch of money if I buy it that I'm taking out of my pocket while somebody else doesn't have to. So on the high side of the road, I feel a little cheated, but I'm terribly grateful to have the water. I mean, as an emergency. And, of course, I knew what I was buying when I got a minimal area, but I didn't expect a great influx of people with wells and 7 years of drought. But we're happy to have the water, I think everybody is, except I don't really like the water very well. I don't think it's very, I can't take chlorine, and but I have a bad stomach. But so I do have a well, and if I use it only for drinking, I get by with that, okay. But hot weather, things really go fall to pieces up there when everybody, or they come home from work, everybody starts to take baths in the evening during the summer, and it gets kind of poor. But I wouldn't live with cruddy water like that. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't gone to the health department and found out who. Was it the plumber that's at fault that put the line in, or is it your guys at fault? I mean, I'm just shocked to hear that somebody's getting water that they can't drink.
I'm
all done.
Yes, but you're not having water quality problems as far as...
I don't like it, and I don't like the chlorine in it, and sometimes it tastes, but I haven't noticed any bad odor.
Of
course, I do as little drinking of it as possible, but when I'm doing a lot of washing, I have a system that switches over, and a backflow and all that kind of thing. And I do have a bumper, a booster pump, but I don't want to put it on your system. I want it to be adequate in the yard. I would like to take a shower without having to run outside and switch it on the other. And that's an inconvenience. I've been watering in the yard. So it's on your water. Because I don't have enough to, you know, water everything in the yard. And I don't do much yard watering anyway. But in order to get a shower, I have to run out and switch it over to wash my hair. And I'm glad I have my own well and that I can do this. But I do think, I wonder in case of a fire, I mean, how many pumper engines do we have to get enough water to fight a fire? Is the pipe, I was not in favor of making a smaller pipe in the street. On the other hand, I want it as cheap as possible too. So there you are. I didn't vote one way or the other on that, but it seemed a shame that we didn't get the biggest pipe we could down in the ground when it came to us. But that's just my own opinion. But I wonder if it goes down so bad on a bad day when everybody's using their water, what would it do in case we had two or three people out there trying to fight a fire? Would we have enough water to fight it? Makes me wonder. Because it does go down on certain days. You know that, Gene. It just does. And then sometimes everybody turns everything off late at night or something. You go up there and you have to...
So it's probably that had that little spurt in the...
Well, everybody's watering. Everybody's come home from work and taking a shower.
When those pumps go on, we have quite a bit of pressure out there.
Oh, we do? Well, I've noticed it seemed like it was late at night or...
Well, there are probably periods when the pumps go on.
Or after, and especially bad on warm... on a warm week, and about 5 o'clock or 6 when people are home, that's when it gets pretty low. And that's just my opinion. And I kind of keep track on, I guess I've been better off than some other people, and I haven't come down. I just thought you'd fight it out down here and give it. I told Gene, I know he knows that I don't have much pressure.
Okay,
thank you.
And you, when you use it, I try not to tell
well,
me.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference when I
yes,
use it.
Yes, it does. They're watering on from that your street on up.
Well, it's the same pipeline. I don't think it matters. I don't have any pressure on my side. I know you don't have any on your side.
Yeah.
Because I remember.
Well, I don't mean you have good pressure.
I remember when your insulation was put in with a backflow device.
Uh-huh.
The same plumber put yours in, put mine in ahead of yours, and when...
No, I had a different one.
The same plumber put yours in and put mine in.
I had
Fulkrod, yeah, Mike Fulkrod put mine in, and he came over to check the pressure in my line because he thought he had a leak in your line, and it was just there wasn't any pressure over there, and he verified it in my line because I had already installed it, and it was low pressure, so he said, well, then it's not a leak, it's just that's what's coming off of the pipeline.
I didn't know you had him.
Yeah.
I thought you had somebody.
I had him before you.
I always have him. Yeah. He's the best.
Okay, thank you.
And I recommend you give him a check on your...
Your time's up. Yes. Please come up and give your name again and address.
Norm Force here again, 231 Summit Station. Would it be possible for you folks to send a short letter out to all the people in this water system and have a special meeting just for that and try to solve these darn problems? I mean, it's too bad.
Why don't you let us give this some thought how we go about that? We don't just want to call a meeting and not have any information for you. I think what we should do is get this water tested, number one, and look into why there seems to be air in that cul-de-sac there.
Well, it seems to me on a dead-end line, it shouldn't have been put in as a dead end. It should have been hooked up somewhere in a circle to come back into the system. That's the second place. It's the same thing down on a frontage road, isn't it? Dead ends on a frontage road also?
I think so.
No, that goes... It's a circle that goes up daily.
There's two dead ends, though, right close to one another, right?
Well, I think there's one up on Poppy Lane, where it dead ends and
then
up on top.
Too close to Futura.
Valverde and Futura Lane, they're both dead end lines. They just stop them in the cul-de-sac. The cul-de-sacs are opposite each other.
Apache Trail and also Pomeroy have both dead end lines.
Right, Apache Trail too.
Yeah, and Poppy Lane, which is probably the longest dead end line, and then Pomeroy. They're all five dead end lines. 86.
You've talked about adding lines across the creek to help the circulation. Why haven't you done it to find out if it's going to help the circulation?
Red-legged frog will let us do it.
Unfortunately, these
We can't dig in the creek until it's dry enough for
bypass the creek and go around it.
We can dry out for the frogs. We'll be digging tomorrow. There's some total frogs.
I think that meeting was called for with the residents back when Mr. Bolzano suggested that, and he was going to make a get together with Mr. Jones and form a meeting and meet out there in the Summit Station area. It never happened.
Go ahead, Don. John Snyder, 662 Eucalyptus Road in Pomo, California. Could we have the map with the tanks on it back again? Okay. Well, I had to note a couple of things here. First of all, Doug's always had a relationship under static conditions, that's with no water flowing between the tank and the water pressure, which would be true as long as there's no water moving in the pipes, there's no pressure loss in the pipes. And there's a couple of important things about that. One, when the standpipe is about half full, the pressure would be below 20 PSI, and you'd be in violation of Title 22 for the fire flow. So that's an important thing to consider, that you only have 1.5 million gallons that's available for fire flow without being in violation of the Title 22. Secondly, under static conditions, you guys have a telemetry system, and it seems to me that you're not looking at all of the recorded data off the telemetry system. That should, as far as I'm concerned, should have every 15 minutes or every half hour at the level of that tank. So if that tank was falling lower than... it's basically 44 feet above 460, 504 feet, then you should know about it, and then the static pressure would be lower. So I think you should get a hold of all your telemetry data and know where your tank is for all of its history. And then under dynamic conditions in plumbing, when the water is flowing, the rule is, you know, there's pressure losses and other things that occur in the fittings, so it's possible to be lower than the level of the tank. And there's also a couple other interesting things. If you have a 90-degree angle and you put water through it and you drill a small hole just past the, or excuse me, it's actually just right around the corner of the 90, you can actually suck air in. So if you have a low pressure, like you're talking, that's maybe 30 psi, you might be sucking crud into a corner if you have something going around a 90-degree angle. Thirdly, I note in your plan here, you say that the district, if you put these pumps in, the district contribution can be justified because of potential increase in the operating range of the standpipe, which I would agree. That would prevent the problem of low pressure, but it wouldn't aid in the fire flow situation. You'd still just have the 1.5 million in fire flow, not the full 2 million. And I was kind of wondering why you chose the cutoff level of 440 feet. If you choose a cutoff level of 413.8 feet, for booster pumps, that would allow you to use the whole tank without having a pressure loss there. And I also note that you have a cost in terms of usable space, that when you have this tank, or excuse me, these pressure pumps, you get available to you have another 227,000 gallons, and you're paying about 10 cents a gallon for the pumps or the $500 rebate, and the customer would be required to pay 20 cents a gallon for that, plus all the future electrical cost. And earlier I had proposed a plan where you'd put a pump at the bottom of the, basically going on Hetrick Road just after it tees into the standpipe and pressurize the whole zone. And my study indicated that, you know, you could be saving something like $40,000 a year. So it seems odd to me that you would make a customer pay $1,000 to put it in, get the operational range of the tank, and then in this case you would only, you're only getting 250,000 gallons instead of 500,000 gallons of extra capacity to use during the day and the night where the cheaper electric rate is, so you'd only be saving 20,000. So excuse me there, but still, if you're saving 20,000 a year, it seems to me pretty unreasonable to make these guys pay another 20,000 and then make them charge them electricity at the top on top of that. If anybody would want to see a copy of my plan, I'd be happy to provide it and explain it. Thank you.
I think that plan was looked at by the district engineer, and they didn't recommend that we go that route.
I recommend getting a district engineer.
Well, that's something to think about. Any other public comment? Okay, then that's the end of the public comment on this issue. Are there any further board comments on this from what you've heard from the...
From what I heard from the audience, that when we originally gave them the scenarios back months ago, six scenarios or seven scenarios there were at the time, one of them was this booster pump solution. And at that time, we were talking about paying all of the cost of the booster pump. They weren't receptive to it at that time, and now by paying just half of the cost, or whatever it is, $500, it doesn't seem to me like they're receptive to that either. So I don't know where we're going to go with this resolution that we have here tonight, whether it's going to be passed. I think we need someone else to look at this situation from the outside, like I said, back in December. Another engineer to come in and find out what the problem is out there. If you can't solve the problem with our district engineer, get someone that maybe has a different idea.
So I might mention the Boyle Master Plan. Boyle Engineering looked at that and the aspect of putting the pressure zone up there and indicated it wasn't warranted, basically economically.
You're talking about what Mr. Snyder recommended?
Yeah, that was recommended in the Boyle report and also my recommendation.
I know, but I was talking about the scenarios that he had. One of the scenarios was basically what we have here tonight as a resolution, except that they limit the amount of money
rebated to the people of $500. And that was actually what was proposed as one of the alternative proposals back month and month ago.
Right. Right, but when we talked about pressurizing the whole area?
No. It was one of the, just like the scenario 7 was do nothing. That was the last one. I still have it at home. It has 6 scenarios, and one of them was at the district's expense. I don't think it was scenario 3, I think it was, and at district expense put in these problem areas where you have higher levels, elevations, that they put these in, and one-time payment for the system to be installed, and after that, it is the property owner's responsibility to maintain that system.
Yeah, basically, I think I'm hearing two problems. One is the pressure aspect, which is presented tonight, a solution. The other is water quality, which we'll have to take more samples and see if we can chase that down where the water quality problem come in. If it's in our system or off-site the system, that's one thing we need to determine.
Well, the water quality problem and the air problem seems to be hand in hand, isn't it? What is it possible? You were talking about putting in a pump that is like a trial thing?
I was talking about that back in maybe December or so. We started this, I think, in October, talking about the summit station problem. And I proposed that time, I think the engineer was here, district engineer was here at the time. I said, why don't we try it? Because there were questions at that time about the volume not being in the main line, and you put a pump on it, system, you're going to be pumping air, and that pump's not going to last long. So I was thinking of having a trial installation of a pump, pressure pump and tank at one residence and see whether it solves the problem before you go any further. Because why should you have these people put all these pumps in and then cover them all up and fail?
Yeah, could we go ahead and do that and pick, you guys, because they could pick the worst one out there and that'd be the one to do it.
If they would buy it.
Right. You know, there's indicating that everybody's using water out there and it's going to drain the water line down. There's approximately 20 parcels along Summit Station. If everyone's using 20 gallons a minute, which is almost maxing out the meter, that's only about 400 gallons a minute. We ran fire flows out there about 800 gallons a minute, and we still had adequate pressure out there. Even in the test based on the fire department, the 800 gallons a minute, if it was reverted down to 500 gallons per minute, which is a requirement for the state fire department, we could pull the tank down at least 30 feet and still maintain fire flows out there. And so the line is always full of water. It doesn't go dry. That aspect of it. People may not believe it, but hydraulics.
Well, what if we did a test, though? Why not?
Fine.
If they can pick the worst,
right.
the worst one, because they all live there, they ought to be able to figure out who has the biggest problem. And if we can solve that problem with this pump, then it would be an indication that it would solve the other people's problem. If it doesn't solve it, then we burn our own pump out, well then we pooped and we have to try again.
We have a little problem of putting the pump on private property.
Well,
I could probably arrange somehow.
Yeah. Right. I don't know what the summit station folks would want. If they volunteer for such a pilot program, but I think Mr. Jones points out one thing is that they would have to allow us to use their electrical meters, you know, because for the electricity, and number two is give us some type of permit that would allow us to go up there and install it and monitor it both. I mean, mm-hmm. We couldn't just put it in and walk away from it. We'd have to be allowed to come in and monitor it on an ongoing basis too, so that we could, as Mr. K points out, test it and determine its reliability.
They got together and they agreed on who had the biggest problem and who would agree to all this good stuff.
Right. I think that there's nothing to prevent that type of scenario from going forward.
Okay, so now the next question is, would you people be willing to do that?
Huh?
I think yeah, her house is probably at the highest elevation, right?
When you have 20 pounds pressure in the line at the meter, she has zero pressure in the house. Well, and that would be the ideal.
But, yeah. What I would try to envision,
if you could get their approval.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to get their, you have to get their approval.
I thought she was going to be here tonight.
And it would have to, just so if you're going to talk to Mary, I mean, she'd probably come in and talk to the board, to Doug, too. But she would have to be, have the knowledge that in order to be the test residence on this program, she'd be required to allow us to come in and install it, to use her electrical meter, and then allow us or district staff to go up there and test and run tests on it to assure that it was actually working. So it's more of a burden than just saying, we're going to put the pump in and walk away. We're going to have to set up a test program. Well, that would be up to Mary.
And I would suggest that they...
If there's a fire pole, we put our own...
Yeah, if she wouldn't, perhaps she could find someone. I mean, I don't know.
And I would suggest that they put on this, just to see how this works, this jetpack system on there, where it's all one unit. Then if you it doesn't work out, you can always use it somewhere else, and there's always a use for that somewhere in the system.
If there's a power pole there, can we put our own meter on there? Or is that too? No.
I would suggest that
it would take time.
Well, the thing is, her house may be 800 feet from the...
She has electricity there.
You're going to have to put a hell of a line in there to not drop over.
I think she has a well right next to the road.
Oh, she does? Okay. As long as it's
she has electric service at the road.
Well, the grump pump, this particular pump, which is the grump pump, which is this device up here, can go any place as long as there's the water pressure coming in. In fact, it can suck 16 feet of water. If the water was down 16 feet in the hole, it could suck, based on this graph here, it would suck that water up and get that kind of pressure. It could go by their house. Right. Yeah. It could go by our house.
Well, what I would do is, if the board is so inclined, at this point, I would request a motion, a second, attempt a trial program with a volunteer who would be willing to allow us to use their electrical meter, allow us to install the pump on their water line, and would allow us what a lawyer would call a license to enter their property back and forth in order to allow testing of the facility to assure its reliability and that it will do what we all hope it will do.
Okay, we'll entertain a motion for that purpose.
Oh, yeah. I will make that motion because I think I was the one that initiated back when. But it's something that should be, the motion should be written and given to the residents out there and let them discuss it, and come
yeah,
up with
when you're coming up with somebody.
Right.
Right, and I just had one more little caveat that it would culminate in some type of written agreement, you know, so that...
Correct. Right, you have to have some kind of agreement, otherwise you couldn't do it. Yeah, I have this list. I'll give you a copy of this list.
It's not everybody,
huh? No, this is 42 names. Some of these are not getting service. They're vacant parcels. And there's some of them are not having service at all. So they have nothing to go by. They don't know what the pressure is or anything.
Yeah, don't call me.
But I would make the motion, as John stated, that we try have a trial run on this to see see if it works and if there's a problem with it. Why should we inflict this on all these people out there?
Just state the motion, Gene.
Well, this is what it is. The motion has been stated already.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to initiate this trial pump with a volunteer. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Director King?
Yes.
Director Fairbank?
Yes.
Director Blair?
Yep.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Director Mendoza?
Yes. Motion passed.
Does this thing have a shut off on it so if there's no water it doesn't burn it up?
I think it does. It says that in the...
I think this is a centrifugal pump, and I think centrifugal pumps can run dry. You don't need water.
Oh, okay. Cool. Because I got a little
bump
hose pump on my solar, and if it runs dry, it's
$40. I got a little pump
on my solar. Built-in dry run protection.
I did.
This is a centrifugal pump.
The last page, Bob. The last page, it says... built-in dry run protection.
Oh, cool.
Okay, we're going to item number four.
All right.
Mr. Jones?
Mr. President, Mrs. Zakow is requesting a water service to her property. The exhibit that you have in your packet is the property is a 5-acre parcel. The Devin property consists of 5 properties. There's 4 5-acre properties, 1 15-acre property. Initially, I thought the 15-acre property was hers, but it's the 5-acre property. It's across the street from Black Lake Golf Course. She's requesting an additional service to her property so a granny home can be built on the site. And she needs a will serve letter, I believe, from the district prior to the county issuing a building permit for a granny home. This area, there is an existing agreement that was entered into at the Bevingtons. I assume that they want all the property back in 1980, whereas there was only 5 services would be given to the property, so at the 5 existing parcels. And so there's 1 service per parcel out there right now. The agreement would have to be modified because it only allows 5 services to add additional service on there. This area is outside the district boundary. Although we have a service agreement to provide water service to this, this is prior to 1990 where legislation was changed where any services after that date would have to receive LAFCO approval. This was grandfathered in, so it does not need LAFCO approval. That's the district position since we're serving an area and not numbers. And therefore, that's the situation. It is possible since anyone annexing or increasing densities to a certain aspect in the district, the board requires certain retrofitting to create sufficient water for the new parcels. They may wish to add that condition on this with respect to water service. Ms. Zaka's in the audience. She may wish to address the board. That's the basic background on it. Staff has no problem of adding another service. There's a tentative resolution put together for the board to review.
Ms. Zaka?
Will you state your name and address, please?
My name is Barbara Zakow, and the address is 1455 Willow in the Pomo. We have been with the Community Services District since the beginning of the Bevington well, I suppose. We received our final on the house where I live now in June of 1980. It is a 5-acre parcel, and I do need help taking care of it. And my family has agreed to move here and be of help to me. So I really would like to have a well-served letter so that I can take it to the county and get the permit for a granny house.
Do you plan to reside in the new home?
Yes.
Your granny?
Yes, I am. I just had a new one.
Okay, go ahead.
I just hope that the board can see their way clear to grant me the well-served letter so that I can go ahead with the plans.
Okay. Let's see what the board members think. The staff has indicated that that there's no problem with granting this, with some conditions that may be set by staff. So let's see what that might be. Okay.
All right.
Any board comments? Okay. Any other public comments?
Yeah, all right, me again. John Snyder, 662 Eucalyptus Road. I'd just like to know if you're going to supply water for this service, whether you'll be adversely using any other well owner's water in the basin. Thank you.
I'm going to make a motion that we modify agreement that was made in 1990, or 80 rather, and the motion to include water services to the granny house under construction. This apparently it's under construction now, Barbara?
No.
Nia will serve water.
This is so she can be.
But I can't get a permit until I have a permit.
Oh, even more important than that you got it. Okay,
yes,
good.
Mr.
She's not through it, isn't it?
Oh.
Are you through it?
Yeah, no, I'm not through. I'm just about 50% of it. The service would include conditions,
right,
including retrofitting for additional service. That is the motion.
Have you seen the have you seen the resolution that was prepared by staff? Do you have it in your papers?
No.
Well, maybe Mr. Jones should
Why don't you discuss that, Mr. Jones?
Yeah. What do we got? I didn't see it either.
Do you have A, B, and C?
Is that again?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I haven't got it.
Yeah, the resolution is on. Unfortunately, didn't get in the packet, but it's on in front of you. It indicates that authorizing the water service and determining how many retrofit items that the board wishes to go for, and that it's not a commitment for additional water services.
Okay, I have a motion.
I'll second.
Have we determined the number? Should we?
Yeah, you need to make a determination. Usually anyone annexing to the district is a 2-to-1 basis for retrofitting, which means it takes normally 4 houses to create enough water to 1 new house. And when people annex to the district, they do the 2-to-1, so they actually bring more water in. If you request retrofitting here, she can maybe retrofit her own house plus a new one, maybe and a couple more, to satisfy the 4 retrofits, which would indicate sufficient water for 1 new service.
What would the cost factor be on that?
I don't know. I think Grover Beach did it for about $500, but I don't know.
For what? For one or for four?
For each home, I think.
For each?
Yeah. I think it was $350, $400. It was, you know, they had a program where a licensed plumber came in and retrofitted. But if she retrofits her own house plus a new granny house plus 2 other ones, maybe she'd get 2 of her neighbors.
Is a retrofit 1 appliance in the house?
Basically, the retrofit is replacing the toilets in the home, 1 or 2 or 3, depending on the number of toilets in the home, with the new 1.6 gallon units.
They have been.
We have, yeah. Usually after 1990, all those have to have been. The survey or the inventory we have are services that were applied prior to 1990. We assume that they have the old picture units. They might have retrofitted themselves. We have that list. I'm not sure if any of the property out at Bevington is in that list. We would indicate that these are homes to contact to retrofit. And basically replacing the toilets in there with low flow, putting low flow shower heads on the showers and aerators on the faucets.
Well, I think we have to do this because there's a 3 other 5-acre parcels there, right?
Yes.
And they could, by example, they could request the same in the future, and if we give her without just these conditions, we might be opening up for more problems later on.
Yeah, I would not suggest a 2-to-1 since this is being served already. Like an annexation has to retrofit 2-to-1. This
is she's being annexed, is that?
No, no. This is being presently being served by the district. It's an out-of-district service agreement.
You say you don't recommend a 2-to-1?
No, I would not recommend because it's in the district service area.
What would you recommend?
Probably 1-to-1 just to create sufficient water for the new residents.
So that would be $500?
To per house and new house, right?
Yeah, well three, as long as you develop, you know, 4 retrofits somewhere, I guess.
4 retrofits.
You try for the new house.
You might explain, I seem kind of puzzled. 4 retrofits equals.
Okay. This came about, I think, a year ago or 2 years ago, when the board was very concerned about annexing to the district with respect to the water supply. Since the board back in 1987, through a number of studies, which John knows about, that they determined that the groundwater basin, the Fulmer Basin, was in an overdraft condition. And so they were quite concerned about it on annexing new property coming in the district. And so what they stated, that any new parcels coming in the district would retrofit on a 2-to-1 basis. Now, what it means, for every house that is built in the new annexation, they have to create sufficient water for 2 new houses. And for each house, it takes 4 houses to retrofit to build, to save enough water for 1 new house. And so what the district said, if you come in, annex in the district, you have to do twice as much to make sure that there's sufficient water, that the district is not, you know, conserving enough water for the annexation. It's a very conservative approach. And so they went to 2-to-1.
You keep talking about annexing into the district.
That's what I'm saying. This property is always being served in the district, so I'm not recommending the 2-to-1 basis, which means 8 homes retrofitting, a 1-to-1, or the board can choose any number. But a 1-to-1 usually means 4 houses need to be retrofitted to create sufficient water for 1 new facility, 1 new house.
Also, I'd like to mention that all of these years, because we are not in the district, we have been paying double the water fee.
Yeah, the board is reviewing that aspect.
That's a lot of extra.
This hasn't been split, right?
No.
It cannot be.
This is a 5-acre parcel that cannot split any further.
It will be if it changes zoning. It's residential rural now. It can go residential suburban someday. Then it will be the same, apply the same as what is out of Summit Station now.
The only way that it would be allowed to be zoned would be if it was annexed into the district and water was available and so forth. The county will not let it be split as is.
So that limits that you can't do anything more with it other
than
5 acres.
Okay, then staff recommends a 1-to-1 retrofit, which means 4 homes have to be retrofitted to allow the construction of.
And how do we go about? In other words, existing home is retrofit, and I am almost certain that there's 3 others.
There's a method to this. You can inquire in the office here, and they'll tell you, even give you addresses from people that can provide homes to be retrofitted.
Oh, I see.
Potential. Now, you have to do the negotiating. Like, your potential homes to retrofit.
Yeah, I lived in Pismo many years ago when the city of Pismo had a retrofit program, and I just got a call one day from a developer, or I'm not sure, the developer said, the city has this code section that we have to retrofit to get enough water to build a new house. We understand that you have old fixtures. We'd like to come in and do it. There's a form that's filled out, and so they contacted me and said, at no cost to you, we'll come in and change your toilets out and put shower heads on and aerators. And I allowed them, they came in, they had proper identification, was approved by the city. They changed all the fixtures out, and then we signed a piece of paper, and it went back. And then the city called me later saying, was this done, to verify it was done, and then that contractor got credit for 1 house being retrofitted. And so I assume it'd be a somewhat similar situation. This is new to us. There's a developer coming in supposed to present a plan, which we have not received yet, but we could maybe work on something to develop a methodology of getting this done.
Okay, so it seems like...
But we could pass a resolution to exempt her and only let her have to represent or retrofit 2 houses, like the house she's got and the house she's built. We could do that?
That would be like a half to half?
That's board policy, yeah.
We could
Number of homes hasn't been put in this resolution yet.
That's what we're debating now.
I think that would be a lot more practical.
It would be a lot easier for her.
Well, of course, and it should be. I mean, she shouldn't have to sell our programs.
You'll have to be prepared to deal with this in the future when others will come in and say, well, you did it too for her. Why can't I get the same deal? Well,
I may be dead by then.
No, that's something for us to consider and decide right now. We need to get this done. So,
well, I would put that in there as a half to half. That'd be just two.
We could make a separate motion, right?
No, we could. It has to be put on this one.
Okay.
Just amend it to read that in B.
B two.
Yeah, that she has to do is retrofit her own house and the house she's built.
Right.
Okay. And that'll handle it.
I would just request the board just to address some of the concerns that I've heard here, that you conclude a finding in there that she has paid. This is in recognition of her paying twice the water rates
right.
over the year, so that we do have something that would maybe separate some other
separate her from somebody else. But she's paid double for a long time. I think she's paid her dues. We should
plus water keep the old toilets, property.
The new ones aren't too slick.
Right, and you know, they did. I think the original Bevington well was also the original easement was delivered to the district for service too. So we did derive some historical benefit. So I guess I'd say put two things in. Whereas there's a well site that has been donated and serving the district over a long period of time. And these residents have been paying.
How is that Bevington well doing? Is it all right yet?
So far, you have to understand that's the second well. The first well was abandoned and a new one was drilled.
How is this one now?
So far, so good.
Okay, so where are we with this motion, though?
Well, I would have, just like Mr. Seitz stated, put those circumstances in as to why we are approving this.
Okay. We have a motion to approve resolution 98651. Do you have a second on this?
Yes, I second it.
Who originated the motion?
Mr. Simon.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve resolution number 98-651. Roll call vote, please.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Kay.
Yes.
Director Blair.
Yes.
Director Fairbanks.
Yes.
Yes. Mrs. Ackauer, you can get information from the office on how to go about this retrofit.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Okay.
They were all dealt with, Granny.
That is not numbers. Okay, item number five.
Mr. President, Kathy James has constructed Upper Track 1901, which is a subdivision off of Granny Avenue, in which she extended the water and sewer lines to her property. She's requesting reimbursement between the water line, or I should say, the sewer line ended right in front of Benito Home. She extended it across to her property on the overhead. Her development is parcel number 6, which is APM 9230-033. Granny Avenue Country property, and then she installed gas their way up to the point of her property, which tees off. And so she has 6 lots in there in her subdivision. Staff has reviewed the information received from the engineer and has spread the cost based on the number of units that can be built on each of the properties. Property number 1 and number 5 are now under the same ownership of the Benito Homes, and they have a subdivision going in there. And therefore, the spread has been made, and number 1 and number 5 have been accumulated together because it's the same property owner, and the district has a subdivision map, I think 1940, showing the development of that property. The other properties, 3, 4, 7, 8 are not developed at this time, but they have the potential of developing. a number of parcels that are shown on the spread, up to five, seven, eight parcels that can be built. Based on the cost per unit, anticipated 45 total units in the area, and the cost per unit is $350, which David summed out to be proposed. With respect to the Grand Avenue spread, the Jasper Way, the sewer line was extended up Jasper Way, which serves two crop development, and so that property was, the cost that was split in half, one of the development